We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say every girl has a story, what do we mean? The girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start? What about the girl whose father is in prison? The girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch? The girl desperate for a break from her home, even just for a moment? By opening up and sharing these experiences, we not only empower ourselves, but also inspire others. Unconditional sisterhood, unwavering community, and the realness. We express, we create, then we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Love Girls, the podcast, where we unpack some powerful but often overlooked topics around body image and self-worth in today's digital landscape. Have you ever stopped to think about how social media subtly and not so subtly promotes the idea that thinner is better or that a perfect physique equals success? Today, we're diving into fat phobia and how it shows up both in the world around us and within ourselves. We'll discuss how filters and curated posts contribute to body dysmorphia and the tricky ways diet culture hides behind wellness trends.
We'll also break down popular TikTok trends and sayings like big back and body is tea, asking how these seemingly playful phrases affect self-esteem and reinforce narrow ideals of what's acceptable. And finally, we'll explore tools and mindset shifts to help build healthier habits around body image. Join us as we take a closer look at these influential trends, ask hard questions, and empower ourselves and others to engage with social media in a way that promotes positivity and authenticity.
It's me. It's your co-host, Jasmine Babers-Gunn. I'm here with my sister.
Hello, I'm sister, Kayla Babers, and we're also here with one of my favorites.
Oh, is it me? Hi, everyone. It's Lydia Harris. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We also have my bestie on the phone. Say hey, girl.
Hey.
Hey, name twin.
Hey, name twin. Kayla Hyatt. Jasmine's bestie, and also just an advocate for bodies, all bodies, and body positivity.
And we have a few of our teen guests. You guys want to say hi?
Hi.
What's your name?
Ileana Thomas.
Amazing. What school you go to?
Rock Island High School.
Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
Yes. And then we have a fellow here. Say hey, girl.
Hi. I'm Bailey Callahan, and I go to Moline High School.
Amazing. And as always, we have Dariana on the ones and twos.
Hi. My name is Dariana. Woo woo.
So, we talk a lot, all the time, about how we're all chronically on TikTok, and recently there has been a sound that I really actually like, but when I heard it over and over and over again, it's that audio that's like, slim, thick, no tummy. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Baddies.
So, what is it called? Baddies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Baddies, yeah.
Post for me.
Ass fat, slim, thick, no tummy.
Yeah.
So this audio clip is really, really, I mean, it's catchy. We all knew it. But like when you think about like what it's insinuating, I was like, no tummy, like no tummy, like where is said tummy? And you know how people are like, no waist, like what waist, like all those kinds of sayings. Like, I'm interested in how you all like take in those kinds of audio clips, because I feel like big back is huge and like, you said you have a story that you wanted to share with Big Back, yeah. But I remember the first time I heard Big Back and I was like, what does that actually mean? But it's like always used like when people are like eating and they're like, oh, like this is a Big Back meal, or like I have Big Back energy, or that's giving Big Back energy. And I was like, that's actually like kind of crazy to say. And then there's also like body is tea, which if anybody says that to me, I'm like, you know it. and is, but like when you hear people say that about other people and maybe like not necessarily about you, or you hear somebody say it about somebody and like they don't look anything like you, like what does that feel like? I'm just curious of like everybody's perception about some of these TikTok like trends and sayings and like how you perceive it. Let's start there.
Well, so me and my best friend, I was eating McDonald's, and we were like, and then we were playing, and I was like, yeah, big back. Like, because it was just like a thing. And she's like, you being big. And I was like, the food good. And then when I post pictures, like me with an outfit, a lot of people say, oh, your body's cute. I really don't take offense to it, because it's like, when I eat, I like to eat. I mean, I'm an eater. Like, I love food. I'm a foodie. And I just feel like when people say it, like, you should say it to your friend, but, like, not make jokes, like, because you see somebody else and you're like, oh, this girl, she's big back. No, that's not right. Either you're going to play with your friend or you're just going to shut up.
Like, joking around with your friends, yeah, that's fine. But saying it to people while you're in school and while people are trying to eat, that's disrespectful. Somebody played a sound while a bigger girl was eating at lunch the other day, and then she stopped eating. So it made her feel insecure, like she couldn't eat while she was in detention.
What song was it that they played?
The big back sound from TikTok.
It's so interesting how, like, things that people used to say back in the day become trending now. Because the term big back, like, my husband and his friends used to say that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like, that's not new.
It's not new at all. So I think, like, back then when they said it, it was because, like, oh, I had like 5 hamburgers and like added like chips on top of this. Like, it was because they did something excessive and it was for fun, but also they're using it for each other, not to like make fun of other people. But now people are using it to make fun of other people, and that's just not okay.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that that's older comes back again. I feel like fashion and stuff can repeat itself, and sometimes the way it repeats itself isn't good. And I feel like that's one of the things that social media is promoting, is the not good reverberations of the fashion trends.
Period.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point.
Almost cyclical, because when we were coming up, it was thigh gaps, like you didn't want your thighs to touch. And that was a thing. And then we moved to the thick movement, where I also think can be toxic, because it's okay if you're thicker or fuller, but only if you have a certain body shape and certain proportion. Small waist, busty, big butt,
hourglass.
Yeah,
100% agree with that. I think that, like, sometimes it's difficult to name something, especially like as somebody who sits in a bigger body, like the term thick, it's like you would use that sometimes as like an even keel description. But I think that like thick also perpetuates an idea, because it's oh, like, it's okay that you are in a bigger body because you're thick.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you look a certain way. You have all of the weight in all of the right places. That perpetuates an idea that, you know, like, your body isn't good just as is.
How you see things that other people don't, and vice versa. Because I've always considered, in the last few years after having a heart attack, considered myself plus size. Mm-hmm. I found out that I'm technically mid-sized.
And
that a plus size person?
Well, I can wear from a 10 to a 14.
Is that plus size? Mm-hmm.
12 and over.
I mean, by society standards, and if you're in a store.
Right. And it's like, I'm too big for straight sizes, but not big enough for plus sizes. And I'm not saying, like, this is, like, I'm not doing, like, reverse fat shaming anything. But it's just interesting, because I'll be like, yeah, I'm a little chunky, this, that. And men and women be like, where? Lydia's husband especially, he'll be like, girl, you don't eat a sandwich and be quiet. But it's just, I think, how we grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s, how being overly skinny was the norm. So now being full figure
is
now the new norm. Boys, they are a big part, like a huge part. And I just feel like they need to, like, grow up. Like, boys be like, oh, and like at school at Rocky, Ileana even seen it. Like, boys be like, oh, she got a big butt. They be comparing us, and then girls be like, oh, I need to get thicker. I need to eat more. I need to do that. And I'm just like, you're perfect.
Because they want to be desired by people that they're
they say a lot about you. And like, if you're a skinnier girl, I have this one teammate and she's really skinny. She gets picked on and they say, oh, she looks like she's anorexic.
Oh my God.
But then when you're bigger, they also bully you for being bigger. So like, they don't like, and then they think thigh gaps are ugly and whatnot. They want you to be like slim, thick, no, like, but like no waist and stuff. And then they insult you if you're not, and they'll pick on you for it.
Even men that are full grown adults, you know, because I was going through TikTok, what Jasmine's referring to, and I saw this girl who was talking about how she needed to get in the gym and get right. She actually was going through this program, which is called Big Back University. So wow. It's actually crazy. This man has started a program called Big Back University, where he's, you know, training quote unquote big back people. I'm using my hands as quotations now.
At the end of the day, I think it's a generational thing, like going down, because I feel like boys don't just like grow up just saying that. They get it from somebody. Mm-hmm. And I just think like if people who call themselves, the men who call themselves real men, if you have a son like and he's body shaming, slap him across the head or something and tell him that's not how you do it. We're not promoting violence. No, we don't. We don't promote violence. I'm just saying, like, just show him the way, like, this correct is not, him. Yeah, correct him. Don't, like, say, oh, just, like, walk past it. No, like, try to, like, make him understand. Not every girl is going to have a perfect petite body. I feel like girls should love, like, their body the way they are. Like, you don't need, like, girl, if you want to eat, eat. Like, I'm telling you want to, like, go to the gym, not because a man or somebody else wants you to go to the gym. Go to the gym because you're like, you know what, I think I need to, like, you know, put my body back in shape, do that, just because you want to, not because somebody else do.
Men who do act like that, they are missing something within themselves. Mm-hmm. And they have an insecurity, and so they project that on other people and then try to control other people's narrative. And so my husband, he always... He's so funny. He always says most of the time men do like plus size women, but because of societal standards and all that, they'll pretend that they don't like them. But secretly, they'll be closeted.
They don't want to get clowned.
Yeah, exactly. But they might, you know, engage in certain activities with a plus size girl behind closed doors, but out in the open, they'll probably be with somebody who is a little bit thinner and stuff. And so
I had a male friend, because I was talking to him, because I'm like, it's a very hard way to navigate. And I'm talking about the Black community, because that's the community I'm from, especially. We have huge issues with body image. And he said, if a man ever makes a comment about your weight, because there was a high school classmate that made a comment on Facebook talking about how Black women are lazy and we're fat because we don't care about our health and we don't try. And long story short, we all know that's wrong. That's there's all types of systemic and lifestyle things that play into Black women having different health issues and being overweight. However, one of my guy friends was like, the only men that care about a woman's weight are men that can't lift said women. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, and, you know, when I looked at it that way, there's very few men that have made comments about my weight or how I look. But the ones that have, they don't look like they could bench press 25 pounds. So I think Lydia and Dariana were both correct when saying that it's a projection of internal insecurity. Because as women, the beauty standards have been fuller figured. If you look at old paintings, if you look at Marilyn Monroe, thick has always been in. Yes. So I just think it's interesting how that insecurity has trickled into us as women. So I think maybe if we decenter men more often, we wouldn't care as much. Considered bigger, like I've been wrestling.
That's a really good question.
What is there's bigger? An answer.
Well, this is what society. If you're fat, does not fall in the right places,
yeah,
right, then you big.
Men.
You fat. That's what they're going to say.
I feel like one of the things is also because of our doctors. Our doctors in society. When I was younger, I got my first physical done when I was a bit older, just because I'm homeschooled, that my doctor said, you are overweight. You need to cut back. Mm-hmm. And she asked me what the foods I liked were, and I said lemonade because I love lemonade. I love it. And she's like, and she said that you need to cut back on your lemonade.
Oh.
So I wish we had the time and I had the research for it, but the BMI stuff, even though the doctors do use it, and there is some evidence-based information out there with that. BMI in the beginning never used to have anything to do with bodies. Mm-hmm. It was a measurement for other things. Oh. And so now that they're using that, and because if I walk into the hospital into my doctor, he's going to tell me I am morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that I need to, cut back and do all the things.
Exercise more.
Exactly. And mind you, it goes with your height, which I cannot change. And then, of course, the amount of fat that I have on my body or whatever, which I possibly could change, but there's so many other factors that go into it. Mm-hmm. Hormones, the things that you eat, your genetics.
I heard the BMI scale is based on white supremacy.
That too. Yeah. There's a little bit of that mixing within. So
European white men were what standards. There's not a different scale for different ethnic groups as well as.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's most of our medical system today. It's not based. Well, some of it is based on experiments that they've done on black people, but a lot of
times.
But no, I will say that a lot of the things that a lot of our standards are done by white males, and so they set the standard for everything, and then we just go by it.
And I think, like, for younger girls, like, it's also like the older people in your life that like perpetuate those ideas too.
Yeah.
Your coaches and things like that. I remember I have a very like similar experience as you, Jasmine. Like, I've been an athlete. I'm a bigger girl, and I've been a bigger girl my whole life. And I've been an athlete my whole life. I've ran track pretty much for most of my childhood, all through high school. I danced, hence in the dance world, has absolutely no room for bigger bodies. And so that was incredibly hard. And for me, like, it really came from like my coaches of like always just kind of like perpetuating these ideas that like I couldn't do the same things because, you know, I was like a bigger body, or that like, you know, them ordering my dance costumes three sizes too big out of their assumption of what size I wore. It's incredibly harmful, and like the internalized fat phobia that they have, like as adults, and then like trickling that down into younger girls. And then now you are faced with the internalized fat phobia that you have to then combat outside of like the societal pressures and everything else that you're feeling constantly. Being like a bigger body, like especially in sports and like when we talk about health and things like that, like it gave me like I struggled with like almost perfectionism because you feel like as a bigger body, people assume or put on you that like you cannot do what like a straight size body can do.
What are your thoughts about Ozempic?
So I take up to 15 to 20 meds a day to regulate my lupus and my cardiomyopathy. Mm-hmm. And with that, with heart failure, your body retains weight. And I, lucky me, retain it in my stomach, which culturally, nobody wants to have a little pudge, but whatever. And so I was actually at a doctor. I no longer see her. And we were in the doctor's office. And she was like, you know, you're 5 foot. You could lose about 50 pounds. Anybody could stand to lose 20 to 15 pounds, most people. But 50 pounds, how am I going to do that? And she's like, oh, there's this new drug, Ozempic. And I'm like, okay, girl, what are the side effects? What are the things? And so we're talking. And she's like, I have some samples and this and that. And so we're talking, having a casual conversation. She's like, oh, I want to look at the side of your stomach. And I'm like, okay. I lift up my shirt and she stabs me with the Ozempic without my consent.
Oh, she did. That's crazy.
Without my consent. Now, she was a fill-in doctor. She wasn't my normal doctor. And she was older. I don't want to be ageist. But she was like, yeah, we have a nurse and she's a little bit bigger than you and she just eats plates and plates of spaghetti. And I told her, just take this Ozempic and you won't be hungry anymore. And I'm like, our bodies are supposed to be hungry. And so I had the Ozempic and it works. I lost 10 pounds in a week, mm-hmm. which, might I add, is not healthy.
Right.
The normal body, right. healthy, should losing one to maybe 2 pounds a week. Your blood work is what matters, not the composition of your body. I think Ozempic is good for people who need it. And it also does creates these fast fixes for things that are generational, emotional. Mm-hmm. Food is traumatic, yeah. especially in our community. Right. And we need to heal that before just losing weight. It's not about the weight.
I have insulin resistance PCOS.
Same. PCOS girlies.
And so that started happening, I think, maybe towards the end of my high school education. And then I started noticing body changes really when I got to college, especially with my periods and stuff like that, with them being so bad and having to be on birth control just to make sure that I wasn't like bleeding excessively and all the things. And so I will say that it helped for a time, but like Kayla said, they are fast fixes. And they're really supposed to be for people who are like diabetic or like, or who have prediabetes and stuff like that. So at one point I did have prediabetes as well. So it helped with regulating my insulin so that it can combat the glucose in my bloodstream and that type of thing. But if you don't have those issues, I would say that maybe this is not something for you, but because the FDA has regulated it so that it can be available to so many people can easily get on it. It doesn't take much to get on.
It really does.
They just do a routine blood test, and if they find that you're okay.
Girl.
You don't Which even is crazy. Have to go into the doctor, really.
No.
You don't. You actually you don't.
I've seen ads for it. $99 a month. We got Ozempic. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. And it's really just that easy. I think, like, especially with social media, like when we talk about, earlier in our conversation, we were talking about social media, and I see, like, Ozempic a lot, like, mm-hmm. on social media, on TikTok. Okay. And, like, I think it also, like, it goes back into like desirability too, because mm-hmm. I think that people are like, oh, just get on Ozempic and then you'll lose all this weight and then like you'll be like the girl you want to be.
All your problems will be gone when you're not fat.
But the crazy part about it is it can cause liver damage, kidney failure.
Absolutely.
It can do stuff to your heart, and it can make it makes it easier for you to get pregnant, y'all. I don't think people realize that.
Can't say what?
Huh? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it does that.
Because what? You got pregnant very shortly after you.
After.
Like, I don't even think it was a month.
I think I took maybe two or three, because you take a shot. You do a shot every week.
What? It makes you ovulate? Or what?
When your body mass lowers, mm-hmm. your ovulation becomes more regular.
Yeah.
And because sometimes you can, I don't remember what it's called, but you stop ovulating once your body hits a certain threshold.
Yeah.
But as soon as you drop below that threshold, them eggs are like, fertilize me, baby. Fertilize.
Yeah. So, which honestly, it helped me because of my PCOS, I struggled with the infertility as well. So
yeah.
It helped me in that sense. If it's going to help you health-wise, then for sure talk to your doctors about it, see what their opinions are, get the medical diagnosis and all that stuff. But if you're just doing it because of the desirability and you want to have a fast fixes are not always the best, because they can cause long-term issues.
And I should preface, not that it matters, because women can do whatever they want with their body, but Lydia is married and was trying to have a baby.
Right.
So it wasn't a negative side effect. I just wanted to put that out there for the people
Good
who...
Context.
Yes. Yeah.
We have little Gigi now. She's the best.
My girl.
But I'm anti-Ozempic if it means that you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's about, you know, being more desirable or, you know, losing weight for like the gaze of society.
Bigger women, and I'm a big girl, I am, you know, we want to exercise and do all the things, right? But then when we go to the stores, like, I want to be able to put on the cute gym clothes mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. work out and do all the things, but then they don't got it in my size. So how are you going to sit there and tell me to go work out and be in the gym, but I don't even got clothes to even work out in? Make it make sense.
They want
you to put on that big tee.
And them jumbo size sweatpants.
In the gym that way.
I want to be cute.
Right.
And you want to be cute too, because
bigger bodies work out too, and they're healthy too.
Absolutely.
And they move too.
Absolutely, and do.
I just feel like people just need to stop body shaming because you just don't know what people go through. And that's the thing. People also gain a lot of weight from emotion, depression, medication. Y'all just don't understand.
Trauma. Yeah, y'all so many things.
Y'all don't understand what people are going through. So you can't even body shame because if you body shame, then you're making their situation even worse.
We're going to go around. You get one singular sentence.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, one sentence of something that you would tell somebody who's listening right now who might be struggling with the way that they're viewing themselves or their body. Like, what would you say to them? One sentence. It can be anything.
If you want to eat, eat some food. I'm telling you.
Michaela is going to be so mad for yelling into the mic.
Don't listen to what people are saying. Just be yourself and do what you want to do.
Bodies are beautiful, even the broken ones. Mm. So, you know, love it and treat it well, whatever that looks like. And P.S., that's not a number on the scale.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm. Let me tell you something. These trends change all the time. They change so quickly. You just got to worry about yourself. You are beautiful. Focus on you. Your body is great. If you a plus pound girl, plus girl, listen. Get it. Wear all the clothes. Eat all the foods. Do what you want to do. If you skinny girl, do all the same things. Your bodies are beautiful. Don't worry about the trends because they're going to change tomorrow and you can't keep up.
Don't let anybody tell you you're not that girl because of what you look like or anything like that. Wear what you want. Eat what you want. Indulge when you want to indulge. You deserve it.
It's really about your heart and your mind. Focus on those things. Be yourself. Take care of yourself, whatever that looks like to you. This has been really fun, friends. I've had a great time.
Kiki.
Thank you so much to our special guests, Kayla,
Aya,
Lydia, Harris.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing and really near and dear to my heart. So I really appreciate being a part of this.
We're so happy to have you. And thank you to our little teenies on the board. Say bye, y'all.
Bye.